From the studios of KPCW in Park City, it's This Green Earth, a weekly talk show about the environment and our relationship with it. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak. Thanks for tuning in. Our first guest is Vicki Ward. Now, she is the Overflights Program Manager for the National Park Service. So do I have that correct, Vicki?
Yes, you do. And good morning, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
And I just want to clarify that I don't manage overflights directly. I work a lot with the Federal Aviation Administration, and that's to cooperatively manage air tours over national parks.
Right. So let's not imagine you in some like tower.
Oh no, not at all, Vicki.
You can say that.
Okay. Well, this is really fascinating because I didn't think there would be such a need for management of air tours. But I guess let's start with a definition of what air tours are within, in this case, national park settings. What do they include?
Well, they include tours that are conducted for compensation or hire, and they have to be in a powered aircraft. And the purpose of the flight is sightseeing over a national park and within 1/2 mile outside the boundary of the park. And that was established under the National Parks Air Tour Management Act of 2000. So it is a very specific definition.
Okay, so then just to complete that, it might not or probably doesn't include, let's say, I don't know, hot air balloons?
That's correct.
Okay, so they're not included. How about drones? They're, you know, growing popularity of drones flying about parks.
Drones are not included in this air tour management planning effort. However, they are prohibited from launching or landing in a national park.
Oh, they are. So any drone in a national park is not supposed to be there, is breaking the law, in effect.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So your concern, again, is mostly, like you say, planes, helicopters, internal combustion engine type of craft that are taking people on tours around parks. So what is an air tour management plan?
An air tour management plan, we're working on plans for 24 parks right now that would manage air tours as far as the routes they fly over the parks. It would include the altitude, you know, how far above the ground level they would fly, how many air tours could be flown in, let's say, a year or maybe even on a daily basis. And there would also be perhaps some days that air tours wouldn't be allowed for special events at a park. You know, if there was a ceremony happening at a park, like a tribal ceremony or some other event at a park that might be disturbed by noise from aircraft. There could also be times under this particular act, we also have the ability to ban air tours in whole or in part, and that could mean like, you know, there's the limited number of days for air tours or none at all.
Okay, so that kind of led me into my next question. Is like, what are the challenges or complications or problems, therefore, associated with air tours?
Yeah, air tours, just because of the nature of an aircraft, you know, it creates a fairly sizable noise footprint on the ground, and so depending on how loud the aircraft is or how high it is, it could interrupt activities like interpretive programs. Just if somebody's hiked out into the backcountry or wilderness area of a park, somebody's expecting just to hear sounds of nature, get away from the sounds of civilization, and it would interfere with that experience. Depending on where air tour flight was located, it could potentially disturb wildlife, particularly endangered species that we would be most concerned about in parks. Those are some of the problems we have with air tours.
Okay. And so these are problems you have. What you say that you mentioned 24 parks per se. Are there any of them in Utah that this management plan would affect?
Yes, there actually are a group of parks in Utah that we're working on plans for right now, and that includes Arches, Canyonlands, Natural Bridges, and Bryce Canyon. And actually, those draft plans are out for public comment right now.
Okay, so, so let's talk about, this is all a function of something called the Air Tour Management Act that was launched back in 2000, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and what was that designed to do? The obvious question is designed to manage air tours like you're talking about. Why was this required? Why is this required? Is this air tours becoming a growing nuisance?
Well, air tours have been happening over national parks for decades. They've been happening over the Grand Canyon, since like the 1920s or 30s. Other parks have had air tours for over 30 years. And as I mentioned, my particular role is I don't manage air tours directly. The Park Service can't manage the airspace over national parks. Only the FAA can do that, and that's the Federal Aviation Administration. And so what this act did in 2000 was gave the authority for both agencies to work together to manage these air tours. And I'm sure people are wondering, why has it taken so long to do these plans? And we started working on plans in 2004. Our agency missions and the National Environmental Policy Act requirements were different enough between the agencies that we were not able to get something finished back about 10 years ago. So, in 2012, there were some amendments made to the act to grant some exemptions for the really low activity parks where the air tours are fewer than 50. We don't have to do a plan there. It also gave us the authority to enter into voluntary agreements as an alternative to an air tour management plan. And we have developed a few voluntary agreements since then. We also have some reporting data now from air tour operators that we didn't have, and that was starting in 2013. That gave us a better handle on what was happening out there over the parks, in more recent time.
So who is going to be overseeing all of this ongoing monitoring? Are you saying this is a joint effort between you, your offices, and the FAA?
Yes. We both agencies agree to the contents of the air tour management plan. We will oversee with the air tour management plans with FAA. So there will be monitoring and oversight of the terms of the air tour management plan. So currently a lot of aircraft have flight tracking equipment on them. We'll require that as part of the compliance with the air tour management plan, that along with the reporting that they'll submit their flight tracking data. We can also visually observe air tours too, and if we see some instances of non-compliance, especially at a park, we'll work with the FAA on that non-compliance report. They'll investigate it, and then based on that investigation, they'll determine if there needs to be some other enforcement or compliance.
What is further action? What is further action then?
It could result in, an air tour operator could possibly lose some authority to conduct air tours. The FAA current approach to compliance is like a graduated enforcement, so they would probably do some education first, and then if it continues, then it might graduate up to loss of that authorization to conduct air tours over a park.
Okay, so right now, Are air tours allowed every day of the week?
Yes, they are. We have about 78 parks where air tours are allowed. Currently, there was a provision in the act to allow that activity to continue until we got an air tour management in place for each park. So about 24 of those parks we're working on right now, and that was due to a lawsuit that was filed by the Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility and the Hawaii Coalition Malama Pono. The agencies lost that lawsuit last year, so we are working on these plans for 24 parks under a court order schedule, and we're planning to get them all done by August of 2022.
Okay. And so then my next question, probably the answer would probably be no, but would it be possible to say to have an air tour free day, one day a week or something, like every Sunday or every Thursday, no air tours? So you can have absolute quiet. Is that a possibility?
Yes. Oh, yes, it is. And it could be a seasonal, too. Some air tours are very seasonal in nature, so there might just be air tours in some days in the summer and none in the winter. It is definitely possible to put in some air tour-free days in an air tour management plan.
Okay. All right. So we have to wrap up. Where can people go to learn more about this management plan?
Well, for each park that we're working on right now, people are familiar with the National Park Service Public Environment and, the Planning Environment and Public Comment System. It's called PEPSI. So if they go to Park Planning at PEPSI.NPS.gov, and if you go to a particular park page, you can find a draft air tour management plan. Like I said, we have seven. Actually, we have the Utah parks out for public comment this month. We have a total of seven this month, and we have probably another group of parks coming out next month for a comment on the draft plan.
Oh.
And so people can submit the comments. We'll look at the comments. We're also consulting with tribes. We're consulting with Native Hawaiian organizations and also the Fish and Wildlife Service on endangered species. So we're going to look at all those comments and feedback, and then if we need to make changes to the draft plan, we will, and then the goal is to have them done by next summer.
By next summer. Okay. That's great. So people can go and submit comments with respect to this proposed plan. And again, when does that comment period close?
Well, for the parks that are out right now, that public comment period will close on October 3rd.
Okay. Great. Vicki Ward, Overflights Program Manager with the National Park Service and also working with the Federal Aviation Administration. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning on This Green Earth.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of This Green Earth.
And if you did, we hope you'll take a minute to rate us, share us, and leave a comment.
You can email us your thoughts and ideas for future shows at thisgreenearth@kpcw.org.
Join us next week on This Green Earth.